Hi, my name is Daniel Pack, and I'll be reading today's scripture, which comes from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8 through 11. Please give your attention to the reading of God's word. Now we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully, understanding this, that the law is not laid down for the just, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for those who strike their fathers and mothers, for murderers, the sexually immoral, men who practice homosexuality, enslavers, liars, perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine, in accordance with the gospel of the glory of the blessed God with which I have been entrusted. Amen. And now let's give our attention to the preaching of God's word.
I have the great honor to introduce our guest speaker today. He is beloved by many at our church, Pastor James Kim. He is the interim moderator for CCSC during this transition on behalf of our presbytery, the North America Presbytery West. He's been in ministry since 1982. He's married to his wife, Chiwan, and has two children and two grandchildren. We are so thankful to have him with us this morning. Would you join me in welcoming him up as he brings us God's word?
Hi, everyone. Good to see you all here today. Well, I can't really see you, but I'm glad to be here with you all today. Last week I was here, and I got to hear Pastor Jimmy speak on the passage just before this, so I thought, I might as well keep it going and stay on schedule. So I picked this passage to preach today so that you might be blessed as we continue on in this series in 1 Timothy. First of all, I want to let you know that our presbytery, the North America Presbytery West, met a couple of weeks ago in San Francisco, and I saw your assistant pastors here, there, and we met and had fellowship, but I gave a report on my work here at CCSC, and all the members were very glad to hear about how you guys were doing, and curious about how the search for the pastor is going, and we prayed for you, and so I wanted to bring greetings from the presbytery to you, letting you know that you're not alone. We're part of the church together, and we want to encourage you, and we're continuing to pray for you, and we want the best for you. So just know that there are others in this world that are on your side and wanting to see good things come from this church and for you to grow in your faith. So I want to make sure that I mention that and say how glad I am to be able to speak to you this morning. It's an honor and privilege for me. I'm not the first EM pastor here. I'm the third. I was the third. Pastor John Yang was the first, and then Pastor Tae Shin was here before me, and then I came after. So it's been a long time since I was here, but I'm glad to be back. And I want to make sure that I do my best to, I hope I can encourage you today. Being mindful of the time and very demure in my presentation, I want to make sure that you hear the word of God today. Well, this passage is a passage that Paul wrote. He wrote this letter to Timothy, as we heard last week, to his true child in the faith. And he did that in order to help him handle issues in the church in Ephesus. A lot of difficulties were going on. And one of those problems was that some of the leaders, and it seems like it might have been some elders, were teaching wrong things. And by teaching wrong things, they were leading people astray from the faith. They wanted to be teachers of the law without really understanding how the law worked and what they were saying. But they had a lot of conviction. They were convincing a lot of people, and so they were having some influence in the church. And then Paul wrote to Timothy and said, you need to stop this from happening, because a wrong understanding of God's word, especially the law, is not healthy and damaging to the church. So in our passage today, the Apostle Paul talks about what the law is and its use. And it's really important for us to know this in order to keep our faith strong and not get distracted by other things. So let me ask you, first of all, how's your faith in God going? Are you growing or thriving in Christ right now? Or are you just, what's going on with you? You need to hear this message. You need to hear this passage, this word from your Heavenly Father to help you keep going and to help get you back on track if you're off track. And hopefully you'll see in this passage how God wants you to be strengthened and blessed. The first point I think I'd like to see from this passage looks from verse 9 through 10 that he points out that the purpose of the law is always for our benefit, our health. A lot of times these days we're very concerned about health, aren't we? We join a gym, we work out, some of us go vegan, some of us go non-GMO, gluten-free, whatever, but we want to be strong because we recognize our health is not great, so we're working on ourselves. We're trying to get better, we're trying to get healthier, and so we do whatever we can to get stronger, more, have more energy, be more alert, to feel good, and to look good too, right? To look good. But you do that with your body, with your health, physical health, but how are you working on your spiritual health? Are you doing that? You might be saying, well, Pastor James, I'm at church, aren't I? I'm working on it. Sure, okay, that's good. Being at church is a good part of it, but are you excited to be here? Excited to meet God? Are you energized after the services, after hearing God's word? Are you strengthened more and more in your love for Jesus Christ? Because you can, frankly, come to church every week and not get much out of it. Depending on how you see your spiritual health and whether you're putting any kind of thought into it, you can come every week and it still won't be very much help to you. As it was happening in this church in Ephesus. People were coming, and they were listening, but they were being led astray. They were being distracted from the central core truth, the gospel. Paul says here, the law is not laid down for the just, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for those who strike their fathers and mothers, for murderers, the sexually immoral, men who practice homosexuality, enslavers, liars, perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine. Those things that the law points out, that confronts, are things that are contrary to sound doctrine, he says. The word there for sound is the word for the root hygienic. We know when you want to be hygienic, you want to be clean. You're trying to be healthy. So it's something about health. You could translate it, excuse me, sound doctrine can be translated healthy teaching. All these things are contrary to healthy teaching. So what Paul is saying is that the things listed are contrary to that healthy teaching, and that the law was laid down to confront that, confront those things. In other words, the law, when used correctly, results in sound or healthy teaching. And when you have sound and healthy teaching, what is the result of that? Well, sound or healthy doctrine leads to sound and healthy faith. That's the issue that Paul sees here when he's hearing news about this church in Ephesus that he loves and that he warned before he left. He told those elders, beware, there will be those who come out from among you who will try to lead this congregation astray. And he's gotten word that this is what's happening. And he's concerned because he loves this church. We saw in the previous passage that these false teachers were teaching a different doctrine. The word there is heterodox. Hetero, a different or alternate teaching from what Paul was teaching. And that resulted in speculations. It resulted in people swerving from the sincere faith and wandering away into vain discussions. Now you might think, how can studying the word, the law, lead you that way? Well, they were using it the wrong way, and we're going to look at that in the next point. But for now, Paul is saying that if the teaching is not sound and healthy, then your faith will not be sound and healthy because you'll be led astray and distracted. What does an unhealthy faith look like? How does that look? Unhealthy faith that's fed by unhealthy teaching tends to make people, tends to make people self-righteous, proud, judgy. Excuse me. I've been having throat issues. They're self-righteous, proud, and judgy because they're so focused on these other things besides the gospel that they begin to trust in themselves and rely on themselves for blessing. If I obey the law, if I get into these vain discussions and just entertain myself, I'm growing. And so maybe they grow in head knowledge, maybe they grow in informational knowledge, but their heart would not grow. And so those who are in getting unhealthy teaching are growing incorrectly so that they become more and more self-righteous, depending upon themselves. Another way that unhealthy faith looks is that that unhealthy faith becomes very cold. It's a rigorous following of rules. There's little room for grace because I'm just doing my thing. I'm just following the rules. I'm just following a schedule. And a lot of people are very comforted by that. They like to just follow a schedule. They like to have everything planned out. That's their way of controlling their life and finding a measure of building in less chaos. And if I can find a religion where I can just follow a set of rules and do them, that's easy. Easy for me because I know what to expect. I know how to do that without really thinking about it. I just do it as a part of my schedule. It's a habit now for me. But it's a healthy faith. It's really just following a set of rules. And when you do that, you become more and more disconnected with others. You find yourself saying, well, I'm so busy with my schedule, I don't have time for these people. I'm just going to do my thing, stay in my lane, and you stay in yours. Very unhealthy. Unhealthy faith also becomes very unstable. Because you're distracted from the gospel, you're distracted from trusting in Christ, you begin going through highs and lows based on your efforts, based on how well you are following the law or pleasing God with your works. Sometimes you come back from retreats and you're real close to God. You're speaking differently with people around you. You're using churchy language, but then there are times when you're not doing well in obedience. And then you go to these lows and you feel like God can never love me. Ups and downs, you become very unstable. Big highs, big lows. That's what happens when you don't understand the gospel, when you don't understand how the law fits with the gospel. And Paul wants to warn this congregation. And finally, the last one that I thought of was that when you're distracted from Christ, when you're distracted from the faith, and you're not very healthy, you're also very self-focused. It's all about my experience with God, me, just me. You're just on your own, thinking it's just about me and God. You're not focused on God, you're focused on you and how you're doing. And when you do that, you start becoming more complainy and whiny. Because it's all about your experience. When things aren't going well for you, you start complaining. Why isn't it going well? What am I doing wrong? And you start complaining and whining. This is not healthy. But it all stems from coming to the law and the gospel in a wrong way. And so Paul's point here is to make sure that Timothy stops this unhealthy teaching, this unsound doctrine from happening, so that the congregation will be healthy. So how's your faith? How's your spiritual maturity? Once again, let me ask you. If you're feeling and experiencing some of these things that I mentioned about highs and lows and disconnection with people, if you're feeling cold and just following rigorous rules, a schedule, if you're feeling more self-focused and you're finding yourself becoming very complaining and whiny, you need to hear this word. You need sound doctrine, healthy teaching. But what does that look like? What does healthy teaching look like? Where does it come from? Well, the second point, it's come from using the law correctly. The law is good when the law is used lawfully, correctly. Have you ever done this? I mean, I do this, you know, once in a while. I used to do it a lot, but my glasses, the little screw would come loose, or something in the bathroom, a little tiny screw would come loose, and I would take, you know, instead of going to my garage and getting the screwdriver that's necessary, the little screwdrivers, Phillips screwdriver, I said, I don't want to go down there and get that. So I look around and I see my wife's nail file. It has a little flat tip on it. Yeah, I'll use that. And I'll start trying to screw in with that flat tip. And then what happens? The tip of the nail file twists and gets all messed up. And then I'll have to try to hide it so my wife can't find it. And then the screw doesn't go in well. It takes more effort because it keeps slipping. It's not the right tool. And I'm using this thing that's not designed for that. I'm using it wrongly. And the result is poor. Well, you know, the law can be used wrongly. And when it's used wrongly, it comes out with unhealthy outcomes and unhealthy faith. And Paul, so he writes here in verse 8, "Now we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully." It's good. The law itself is good, but you got to use it lawfully. In this Ephesian church, it was being taught by obeying the law. But that's not the right lawful way to use the law. You can make yourself righteous, it was being taught. The teachers were studying the details of the law and getting lost in speculations and guesses. But that's not the correct way to use the law. Paul was saying they don't know what they're talking about. They might have a lot of, you know, confidence in what they're saying, but they don't know what they're talking about. They're not focusing on the right use of the law and the purpose. Well, what's the right use of the law then? One legitimate use of the law is to show how sinful we are. It's been described as being like a mirror. The law of God is like a mirror, and when you see it, you see yourself and all your flaws. And it's supposed to drive you then to a solution. The solution, only solution, is Christ. That's one of the right uses of the law, to see the law and say, I can't measure up. I am flawed. I need help. I need a Savior because I cannot save myself. You might say, I haven't murdered anyone or committed adultery or struck my parents. The word actually is to kill your parents. You might get away with that, but then you got to take into account that Jesus said, if you look at a woman lustfully, you've committed adultery with her. If you hated your brother, you've committed murder. So it's not a matter of just doing the action, but if you have the intent even, Jesus says, that's the proper use of the law. That you reflect on it and you see yourself for who you really are. Now, I don't look at myself very often in the mirror, but when I do, I'm always surprised. I go around thinking, I'm a pretty good-looking guy, I'm in pretty good shape. And then I go to the mirror and I go, is that really me? What happened? Where did it all go? What is that? When I look in a mirror, I see the true me, not my thinking about me, but who I really am. All my flaws, and I say, wow, I am, you know, if you look closely, I'm pretty ugly. And one of the uses of the law is to do that, to make us look at ourselves and say, I deserve nothing from God. Someone once asked me, why do you have a confession of sin in the worship? It's such a downer. And I said, well, if you don't have the assurance, of course it's going to be a downer, because if you're left like that, you're going to feel depressed. But the assurance after that that we saw here, you are forgiven by Christ. Yes, you are a sinner, yet Christ has paid the sin for you. We had a church member that taught me something on how to remind myself that I'm a sinner in daily life, that I need God's grace and forgiving. Because when you reflect on it and remember it more and more, it makes you understand and appreciate what God has done for you more and more. And so one church member, a guy named Mickey, big Italian guy, Mickey Ventura, big barrel-chested guy, real funny guy, he used to always say, when I said, how you doing, Mickey? He would always say, better than I deserve. Better than I deserve. When I first heard that, I went, you know, that's a very theological answer to that question. And so I started using it. And so when I just meet anyone and they say, hey, how you doing? I say, yeah, I'm doing better than I deserve. They all kind of, what? They're surprised. You don't think you deserve more? You think you deserve to be worse? And that leads to discussions. What do you mean by that? Oh, let me tell you. But it reminds me, first of all, I should not presume that I'm better and I deserve something, that God owes me something, but I'm blessed. I'm doing better right now than I deserve to be. See, I remind myself, I use the law as a mirror to see myself for who I really am, and it drives me to Christ. It makes me thankful for Christ and his work for me. He, the one who was perfectly holy, without blemish in his obedience, became sinful on the cross, taking my place. Wow, that's something. So that's one legitimate use of the law. Another one is that the law is there to help Christians, people who already know Christ and have been forgiven for their sins because they understand the gospel. It helps Christians know the heart of God, know what pleases him. And that's important for Christians. Let me give you an example. I have two granddaughters, five and three, almost three now. And my two granddaughters, they know grandpa's favorite flavor of ice cream. It's vanilla. I know, it's kind of plain, sorry. I just like vanilla. So whenever we go out to get ice cream, they get their chocolate or Rocky Road or whatever, and I get vanilla. And so once in a while when we're playing, you know, they have a little ice cream kit, or we're just out walking and just doing certain things, one of them will always turn to me and say, Waba, that's my name, Waba, do you want some vanilla ice cream? And after this third or fourth time of them asking me that, I kind of realized, oh, they're asking me that because they want to make me happy. They know what makes me happy, vanilla ice cream. And so whenever they just want me to be happy, they just say, you want some vanilla ice cream? What do you want? Do you want some vanilla ice cream? And, oh, yeah, sure, I'll have some vanilla ice cream. They love me, so they want to please me. They want to make me happy, and so they want to do something for me. Legitimate use of the law is to help Christians understand the heart of God so that we can do what pleases him with a thankful heart, because we love him since he first loved us. God loves you so much. Don't you want to do something to please him? Not to get something, because you already got more than you deserve, right? But because you love him, because he loved you, don't you want to do something to make him happy, to please him? Well, that's what the law is used for, to help Christians understand God's heart, so we know what pleases him and follow him and obey them, the laws. Lawful use of the law is healthy doctrine, and healthy doctrine leads to healthy faith in Christ. So let me get to the last point then. The last point is its glorious connection, the law's glorious connection. Verse 11, Paul says that all these things that he's listed out, They're contrary to sound doctrine, which is in accordance with the gospel of the glory of the blessed God. It's in accordance with it. Or if you look at the New International Version, that's the ESV, English Standard Version, but the New International Version translates it, it's that what conforms to the glorious gospel of the blessed God. There's a connection there. It's interesting that Paul says this. He points this out because Paul is the one who persecuted the church greatly. Whenever he walked into the room, it was bad news for any believer who met him. He was the one who persecuted and took people to jail so that they could be executed for not denying Christ. He thought he was following the law, but he was following it wrongly. He was justifying himself by his zealous work. And he thought God would be pleased by him helping wipe out this sect, this false teaching. He didn't understand. He had confidence, like these elders in Ephesus, but he didn't understand the right purpose and use of the law. And now he does. Excuse me. Now he does, because he met Jesus Christ. And now he has become the great defender of the church. It's so interesting that he says here that this gospel was entrusted to me. In verse 11, God has entrusted me with this gospel to defend it. This is the gospel of the glory of the blessed God who met me on Damascus Road. I was wrong in applying the law, but he showed me the right way. He drove me to Christ. He made me see who I really am. Paul turned around because he saw the truth. He understood the purpose of the gospel, the law. He understood the gospel now because Jesus Christ rose from the dead, spoke to him, and told him the good news. He was the enemy of God, but in Christ he became God's willing servant, going around the world, suffering shipwrecks and all kinds of difficulties, hardships, starving. But he did that willingly and joyfully. Why? Because he understood the connection of the law and the gospel. The law drove him to Christ, and he realized how great a sinner he was and how great a Savior and Redeemer Jesus was for him. And he became a willing servant. He was filled now with sound doctrine instead of the unheterodox that he was following. He was one of the worst misusers of the law of God, but he was driven to Christ by it and became one who went to the ends of the earth to preach and teach the sound doctrine of the gospel. So now, you were enemies of God. But now, saved through the once-for-all sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He did that on the cross. While you were yet sinners, he didn't wait for you to get your act together. While you were yet sinners, Paul says, Christ died for you. Take that in. Think about it. Maybe all this time you've been just taking the law and just getting distracted with it, saying, if I do these nice things, God will forgive me. God will do this for me. If I do this or do that, serve a little here, give a little there, God will bless me. Don't fool yourself. You need to understand the law and the gospel and how it fits together. The law drives you to Christ. You need Christ. The right application and understanding and use of the law drives you and is connected to the gospel of the glorious God who is blessed. Are you spiritually weak? Then let the law of God drive you to Christ once again. Preach to yourselves the good news. Hear the healthy teaching that is good news to your soul and be refreshed if you're tired and weak. Are you wandering and distracted from Christ? Preach to yourself the good news that you were a sinner, but God took care of all those sins in your words, in your thoughts, in your actions. And he nailed him to the cross. Preach to yourself that good news again and again and again in your daily life, understanding how to use the law properly and how it connects to the gospel. And then recommit yourself to the one who loves you more than anyone else in this world. People of God, I pray. My desire is to see this congregation just revive. Don't wait for a new pastor to come right now. Stand for something. Make a commitment in your mind. Do I love God or not? Is he the central thing in my life or not? Am I being distracted by this or that? Or am I being taught to focus on Christ? Am I healthy in my understanding of the gospel and the law? Let's pray. God, our Father, we come before you this beautiful morning, repenting of our sin. Lord, we deserve nothing from your hand. We don't spend much time thinking about your law and being driven to Christ. We go about our day just thinking we're okay. We get distracted, thinking that I've done enough, not realizing that we should, if we wanted to earn our salvation, would have to continue on forever and still not be able to earn salvation, earn forgiveness for one sin. Lord, as we reflect on the law, help us to use it the right way. Help us to come before you humbly, knowing that everything that we get is from your gracious hand. And let that drive us to want to please you by obedience to your word. Not just physical obedience, but deep down, true desire to please you. Not just following a schedule and coming to church every Sunday, but being here with anticipation, with a desire to know you more deeply and to honor you. For you deserve to be honored. You are the blessed God, and you are filled with glory. Thank you for this opportunity to worship you, O Lord. We pray and ask all these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.